Every ultimate experience Ireland has to offer is always within reach with a 182 BMW. The ultimate bowl of chowder, seasoned with Atlantic salt air, the ultimate swim spot, even the ultimate scenic shortcut that happily takes way, way longer. Experience the ultimate with a 24-hour test drive from your local BMW retailer. Because owning your new BMW is always within reach. Visit BMW182.ie.
Going on, everybody. What's happening? Happy Thursday night right here. It's a beautiful Thursday night in August. The temperature's nice out here in the Northeast. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. I'm sitting down here back home in the East Coast, home from New Orleans, live at the bar in the basement, having a few beers, about to have a great conversation with my good friend, Buddy Casamano. It's going to be great to talk to him. The dude's been all over the world. I know I put it out there and everyone's like, what are they talking about? Honestly, it's going to be a great conversation. And with me, it may become a new thing, but with me again is the one and only Red Leader himself. Dude, what's going on?
What's going on? What's up, everybody?
Music's a little loud, huh? I apologize for that. What's going on, dude? How you been?
I've been good. How about you?
You know what's going on. Working my butt off, dude. I got Buddy Casamano on the show later tonight, man. You've met Buddy once, but I did a little research on this guy, dude, and you wouldn't believe. He's, like, performed for the prince, for Princess Diana and the Queen of England, and, I mean, the guy's just been all over the place, man. I know, right? I had no idea. He's Prince Charles. I mean, he was at the Budokan in Tokyo. The guy's been everywhere. Rio de Janeiro. It's going to be fun to talk to him. I think it really will be some pretty good conversation. I know it's kind of weird when you try to relate that to food, but it's the truth. I mean, it should be a pretty cool conversation. Dude, he has been kicked by Madonna. He had his nose broken by Sandy Duncan. He fell down the stairs with Sally Struthers. I mean, sipping tea with George Michael. The guy's been everywhere.
He sounds like a very interesting fella.
You never know when you met him. He's funny as shit, too, which is the best part about it, right?
He was hilarious.
You know, but, I forgot about this. My name is Chef Plum, and welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. But sorry, we're on a Thursday night. You know what it is? Here's what it is, Chef. We came back for season four on the show with you and myself and the cavalcade of guests that we had last Thursday night. And I figured, why not? We'll do one more Thursday, and then I'll try to get back to a Monday. I don't know. I can't figure out what I like better, Monday or Thursdays. What do you like better?
I think I like Mondays better because you start off the week with it.
Yeah, all right. Well, maybe
Thursday's
we'll start
not bad either. Maybe you should do Mondays and Thursdays.
Sure, why not? I've got nothing else going on. Why the hell not, right?
Yeah, why not?
Well, like I was saying, man, you and I just got back from the wonderful... Wow, why is everything so loud now? I try to play background music, and it's all so loud. Let me see. All right, to hell with that for now. No background music for now. But, dude, so... You and I, we just got back from New Orleans, the Chef's Taste Challenge. We got to spend a number of days down there. What a great time, huh?
Oh, God, it was amazing. I missed it already.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we were down there. We got there a little later than we anticipated on Thursday. And that's a story to be told.
A little bit later.
um, But then we had, so I was a little bit worried about it because we got there a little later, but we had to prep food. At the time, we thought we had to prep food for 500 people, remember?
Yeah, I remember.
And they were like, oh, you got a couple hours here on Thursday, and then on Wednesday, you'll have till about 3 p.m. to prep food. And I was like, okay. Then we pretty much missed our entire day Thursday, and Friday came along, the day of the event.
We did miss our entire day.
Yeah, I guess we did, huh?
we got there and we did the radio show.
Well, we did get in time to do the radio show. That was fun, right? I mean, literally, it was a cavalcade of guests that night. And you got to meet one of my oldest friends, the bald dude.
Hey, that was amazing. The bald dude is an amazing guy.
He's a funny cat, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't heard that radio portion of it, but I'm sure it was great.
There was a number
of stuff we were talking about not on the radio.
But there was a number of belly laughs just happening, I mean, as we were sitting at the bar there. It was awesome. Yeah, the hotel was great, but the event, man, so we get there. Our dish was going to be a ceviche of this local fish called drum, a smoked mango and sea bean salad with a little pickled shallot, some green chili, and then the toasted pecan mayo. Did I miss something? That's everything.
Did you get the lime supreme?
That's right, a little supreme of lime that we brought on there too.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was our dish. Not like such a complicated dish for executing, but for prepping. But execution, a lot of moving parts there.
Yes, it was a lot of different things. It was very complex.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess we should start with the story where how come we got there so late, huh?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, we were on time. Everything was going well. Red Leader stayed with me the night before. We got up about 3:30 in the morning to go to JFK Airport, which is a very, very large airport, a very spread out airport, I should say. And we parked in the long-term parking lot. We got on the tram to head to the terminal. Everything was going fine. We were going to be cutting a little bit close, but we would have been okay. And we're on the tram. And the tram's what about? The tram's probably a good at least 20 minutes, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it was about that. It says 10 minutes, but like
20. Yeah, there's no way that shit was 10 minutes. That's impossible.
Yeah.
So my guess is the whole thing probably getting from the car to the terminal is probably a 30-35 minute ordeal. Is that sound about right?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
So, you know, we get there, we're on the tram, we're like two stops away from where we need to be, and we're excited, we're kind of joking a little bit, even though it's really early in the morning, and all of a sudden, our man Red Leader turns bright white, looks at me, and goes, dude, my wallet's in the car. Yo, our flight leaves at 6:40. At this point in time, it's about 5:45. And you know, the JetBlue, if you don't have your bags checked by 40 minutes before your flight, you can't check a bag.
Yeah, you know, so, at that time, I still had hope.
Yeah, and what's the first thing I said?
You're like, you're not going to make it, dude.
And I was like, you're not going to make it.
From the beginning.
It's not going to happen. And listen, it's cool. I mean, stuff happens. And if that's the worst thing that happened to us on the trip, and it was, then whatever. Who cares, right?
Yeah.
So it turns out we missed our flight, our 6:40 a.m. flight, which would have gotten us to New Orleans by about noon. So we missed that flight. And what time did the next flight leave, Chef?
2:00.
Mm-hmm. 2:00. So we had to hang out in the lovely JFK Airport from 6 a.m. till 2 in the afternoon. However, they did have the napping pods that you seem to like, right?
Yes, those are probably the only redeeming quality of not going there on time.
So there were these little pods that you could lay in. It's like a reclining chair with like a half sphere, and you could close half the sphere around you to like block you off from everybody. But the funny part about those are, I mean, they're right. If you've been to an airport and you go to a terminal and you're waiting to get on your plane at your gate, that's where these things are. They're at the gates, and literally you're standing there and people are waiting to get on the plane around you. So there's a whole giant group of people all around you, and all you see is their feet from the bottom half of the sphere. It was very strange. You didn't have a problem with it, but I thought it was really, really a little bit weird.
Oh, I was exhausted. not happy.
Well, needless to say, we got there. We got up pretty early the next morning. We got to the kitchen. We were bright and shiny. No one got too hammered the night before. We made it to the kitchen at, I guess, what time was it? About 6:30 or so?
Yeah, it was 6:30.
And we got to prepping a little bit. And I guess about once it hit about 8 o'clock, we realized that we're going to be just fine. I would think that's about when it happened, don't you?
Yeah, once I got the fish done, which was the biggest worry,
yeah,
we knew we were pretty good.
Beautiful fish, though.
Oh, they were beautiful. Nice and fresh.
Oh, it's just great. So, you know, but they gave us whole fish. And in our head, I'm thinking, wow, we got a lot of fish to clean. But turns out that when I started seeing the dish a little bit more in my brain, it didn't need a whole lot of fish per plate. So we ended up having plenty. Like, we didn't have, I mean, I think you cleaned, what, 12 fish or something like that? 12, 14 fish?
Yeah, I believe it was 12.
So we ended up having plenty. And it was fun, man. It was a great night. We met some amazing people, some really great chefs, made some good friends. Big shout out to my man, Brother Luck, and of course, Chef Mark Henry. Good friends of ours. Big shout out to our friend, Chef Leanne Wong, and Chef Jeff that she brought with them. Great people there too. Chef Leo, another great guy. Really just some very, very cool people. Chef David Ruiz, nice guy. I mean, it just, you know, that's a fun part about doing events like that, Chef, is that you meet a lot of cool people. You know, I think that's what it's about.
I totally agree. And we weren't there necessarily to win. We were there to hang out and meet people and be in New Orleans a couple of days.
But we didn't do too bad. We got third place.
We did get third place.
That's not bad.
It was a lot of fun.
Mm. And my favorite thing of the night was, and you pointed out to me, when the MC at the event asked who should get the People's Choice Award, everyone chanted what?
Ceviche.
That's right. People were chanting. And it was, listen, it's one of those events where you have local guys there and local chefs there who, you know, they're obviously going to have the upper hand when it comes to this type of event. No big deal. And you know, one of the guy who won was a local chef, of course, who I think he did shrimp and grits or something, right?
Yeah, maybe shrimp and grits.
I don't even know. He wasn't that... I didn't get to talk to him, but like everybody was very friendly and nice and talkative, of course, but I didn't talk to him very much. Did you?
I talked to him a little bit. I think he got there late and he was kind of focused on his stuff. I mean, it was time for us to start serving, and I think they were still getting stuff done in the kitchen.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, I don't think he really had too much time to be social.
Wow.
I got a couple words in him. He seemed like a good guy.
He did? All right. Well, I didn't get to talk to him. I wish I did. I'm sure he was cool, but, you know, a lot of great chefs there. It was fun to hang out with, man. I'd go back and do it again, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
I think you should apply next year.
New Orleans for anything. Yeah,
you should apply next year. I'll be your sous chef.
That'd be interesting.
You know, I think that one of the fun parts about that event to me, one of the things that sticks out in my mind that we got to do, you and I obviously getting to spend time together, which is always great, but the French Quarter, what's it called? Not the French Quarter, the French market. Dude, that place is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing down there.
I mean, it really was. It was pretty cool. I mean, they're selling such random stuff, but then it's amazing because some of them are all selling the same thing.
Yeah, it's very touristy, but it's got that New Orleans feel about it.
Yeah. We rode the trolley around a little bit. Of course, we had Cafe Du Monde. We had to have some beignets, which I kind of wish we'd gotten some more of now that I think about it. We should have been doing those every morning.
You know, we can make those pretty easy.
You know, I think that might be our next pop-up dinner. I think we might do beignets.
That's not a bad idea.
To tell the story of our... Yeah, and tell the story of the New Orleans trip. I mean, we should. I mean, it was such a good stuff. I mean, you know, we went to, what was the other place? The other place we went to for lunch that day. Got some etouffee. Yeah. And then you had, you got some jambalaya, right? And that stuff was pretty good. And, you know, I didn't get a po' boy. I wish I did.
Yeah, you know, I forgot to do that. It's the second time I've been down there and I still haven't had a po' boy.
Jesus, man, we got to get back down there and get some po' boys, which is, you know, hopefully something that can happen. You know, one of the good things about that is we met some cool people, the people who run the event, Samantha McMillan. She did a great job. She was like our liaison for the event. She did a nice job, very, very friendly. We got to, we accidentally, you and I got to spend some time with them, which was kind of fun. Remember?
Yeah, it was great. That was cool. Like seeing all behind the scenes and everything.
Yeah, yeah. And then just talking to him. And then she gave you a bottle of Jack Daniels, which I'm sure is still probably sitting in our hotel room. Either that or the maids are having a great time with it.
I hope some of you guys can reach out of it. I'm not about to read Jack Daniels on the plane.
You know, it's funny, Max. I think we had just, we had been on such an emotional ride with the whole event and meeting people. And I don't know, man. I didn't drink nearly as much as I thought I was going to.
Yeah, you didn't drink nearly as much as I thought you were going to.
I mean, we were on Bourbon Street, dude, and I had one beer. Just one. And, dude, how many times have you drank with me? Like, one beer. It doesn't even count.
No, it doesn't count at all.
I don't know. And I'm ordering a beer, and my man Red Leader's having a daiquiri, which I want to make fun of before, but it's a thing down there, dude. What's up with that? Everybody drinks daiquiris.
Yeah, you know, it's just the culture, I think. I think, you know,
the heat?
Beer, beer, it's like all they had. Yeah, but you know, the heat's probably a big factor.
It must be like he's having a cold drink to walk around. You know, at Bourbon Street, man, honestly, like, I figured it out, and we talked a little bit about this, and I couldn't quite put it into words yet. But you know what it was to me, dude? Bourbon Street felt like going to a fraternity party to me. It was not my scene.
I was just gonna say that it's like a big dirty frat house.
Yeah, I didn't like it, dude. It wasn't my thing at all. I mean, you know, we went down to that first night, and we're trying to find people, which is fucking impossible to do out there. But I mean, it was cool. Like, it's 3 a.m. or whatever time it was. It was late. It wasn't quite 3 yet because we were eating burgers by then. But it was, you know, 1 a.m, 2 a.m. And I mean, you would think it was 7 o'clock at night. People are going nuts down there still. And I don't know, man. I just, it wasn't my thing. I wanted to like it.
Yeah. No, I get that, though.
What do you think about it? Do you like it or no?
I mean, I don't mind it. I know what it is, you know. Like, it doesn't bother me. It's just a bunch of people. I like focusing on the individuals. And, like, there's cool people there on Bourbon Street, but there's also a bunch of not cool people, you know.
It's like, you know,
place where everybody goes.
I just saw it becoming one of those things where I was like, man, we're going to end up, something bad's going to happen down here, and I don't know.
Where something bad would happen. I completely understand that.
You know, that's what I felt the whole time. So I'm like, can't really enjoy it because I'm constantly on guard. It's just it's just my nature. Like, I feel like I have to, I don't know. It wasn't my thing, man. You know, I'm glad I saw it. Glad I hung out with it. Don't know if I'll ever go back. But other parts of New Orleans were beautiful and awesome and great food. And, you know, one of the things that stuck out to me the most down there, dude, was the people. I mean, what amazing people.
Oh my God, absolutely. They're so humble, and especially what they keep going through. Like, there's so many good people down there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially your man Lofton. You were Lofton fan club member number one, huh?
Hell yeah. I actually made some jackets when I got back. I made 5.
Yeah, you made 5 fan club jackets for Lofton?
There's got to be at least 5 people out there that are big Lofton fans.
Well, I tell you one who's not.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, dude, well, he did the. No, you just don't do that, man. You just don't. All the cooks out there and chefs out there and restaurant people. You know what this dude did? He was waiting on us at the restaurant or bar when we were doing the radio show. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm going to take care of the guy, of course. He goes ahead. He went ahead and put the party of 8 gratuity on there. It's like the most insulting thing you could do, bro. It's like assuming that we're just shit people and going to screw him over, which is not going to happen. I mean, I probably would have given the guy $100 to be honest with you.
But he doesn't. Does he really know that though?
He should. He should know that. You work in his business. You should know that. I don't know. I mean, maybe you could chalk it up to him being new in the business, but I don't think he was.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's the area. I feel like there's a lot of people down there that are taking advantage of other people.
And yeah, that's probably a possibility.
We're obviously not that those people, but you never really know. I hear what you're saying. So he should have just let it be.
Completely.
Like, the whole time, like, he should have kind of realized that we're kind of a big deal.
I almost choked on my beer. But I'm going to be honest. You know what's funny about this trip? My wife pointed it out to me, and she's completely right. You know, it's almost like, you know, whether it's going to do a television show or doing an event like we just did, which might as well have been going to do a TV show, when you come home, there's a bit of an adjustment period, you know? Because what you and I were doing, what we did those 4 days, that's not real life. Like, that wasn't real life, you know? And you come back, and you have to adjust to being back to real life again, man. It's quite strange. Did you have that adjustment period, too?
I did. And my body definitely needed to adjust after moving around so much.
Moving around so much.
We did a lot of walking.
We did. That's true. That's very, very true. We did do a lot of walking. But you know what we didn't do? I wish we did. We didn't play any blackjack at Harrah's, but whatever. That's fine. Next time, because it looks like hopefully we're going to make some contacts with Edible Magazine down there, which brings us to another great thing to bring up. Edible on the Road is looking to be a TV show. How about that, huh?
Oh yeah, it is. Of course it is.
Exciting news there. Like, not even like just bullshit talking, like real talk. Like, this is probably going to happen. Like, we got paperwork sort of thing.
Paperwork is official.
Which is exciting. And then you know what else is going to happen for everybody? I think we'll still keep doing this radio show here too, but a version of this radio show is going to be on the Talk of Connecticut here coming up this winter, which is going to be a lot of fun. Fall, winterish. Which will be on here locally, and of course you can stream it online as well, which is going to be a lot of fun. I'm hoping that I can get Red Lear to come on and be on with me all the time, so I have someone to talk to. All about food.
I'm hoping that happens.
I think it's going to, man. It's pretty exciting. I mean, there's a lot of things coming up, man. It's fun. Like, you know, you and I talk about this all the time, but it's fun to see where food can take you, man. If you put your mind to it, food can do a lot of really, really cool things for you. And, you know, food has got me, my wife, my children, a nice house, 2 cars, like, you know, it's taking me all the way to New Orleans. Like, it's done a lot of things for me. And I think you're starting to see that now too.
Totally. It's been doing a lot for me too.
It's weird, right? When you think about it, like, it's just food. It's weird.
It is just food, isn't it? But it's more than just food though. I mean, we put care into our food.
You know, that's true.
I think that's what sets you apart from other people who aren't as successful. Like, you care about it. You care about your ingredients. You care about the whole process.
Right.
And I think that's why if you get what you give, I think. I think you're giving a lot to food. I think you're getting a lot from it.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a different way to go. I catered an event last night out in Southampton, and I did a upside down panna cotta, and I called it that because I couldn't. Your panna cotta is basically like sweetened heavy cream jello, and it's delicious, very Italian dessert. Excuse me, I can say panna cotta, but I did mine with fresh caramel and caramel popcorn.
Wow.
So yeah, it was awesome, but it was one of those things where I made it, I served it, and it was like mic drop. Walk away. They looked at me. They gave me the look like I did a magic trick, which is, that's what you want, you know? That's what you want from your people.
Always.
That's right. So you know what we got to do right now?
What?
Well, right now, are you a coffee drinker? Do you like coffee? Are you a coffee guy?
Actually, after we get off the phone, I'm going to go get some coffee.
You're going to go have some coffee then, huh?
Yeah.
That's the plan for you.
Playing
you well, listen. Let me.
D&D.
You going to where? Oh, Dunkin' Donuts. There you go. Well, let me tell you something. Dunkin' Donuts doesn't have Bird's Eye Coffee, folks. Bird's Eye Coffee, brand new sponsor of this fine program right now. Bird's Eye Coffee is amazing. What they're doing, man. They are based out of Tampa, Florida. They use only the highest quality specialty grade beans. Their beautiful blends are complex but approachable, and they're always roasted fresh. That's right. Bird's Eye Coffee, you guys. Fantastic coffee, especially for us cooks. We have to have so much energy. We have to have that pickup. Bird's Eye is a great coffee for that. The Morning Lark blend is one of the ones I want you to try. It's such a delicious coffee. It's bright with a honey sweetness and just a hint of citrus and spice. And if you want something a little bit heavier, the Night Owl blend is deep and rich, highlighting the caramel sweetness and cocoa with molasses undertones. And I'm talking about coffee, folks, not a dessert. Let me tell you something. This is good stuff right here. My wife is a coffee diva, and she completely dug Bird's Eye Coffee. You can order online, guys, birdseyecoffeecompany.com. You can even sign up for a monthly subscription so you never run out of your favorite. Check them out, birdseyecoffee.com out of Tampa, Florida. They're roasting coffee beans, small batch style, delicious, fantastic stuff. I highly recommend you check them out. You know what? You know what we're going to do, Red Leader? I think we might have to do a giveaway with these guys here.
Ooh, giveaway.
Coffee giveaway. I'm going to give you coffee. I'm going to keep you awake. That's what your boy is going to do for you. Make sure you check them out. Bird's Eye Coffee, Tampa, Florida. Delicious stuff. Birdseyecoffee.com. Fantastic coffee made by even better people. Give them a check out. Telling you they're good stuff. That's my library.
I have to go to...
Yeah, the hell with D&D. Get you some Bird's Eye. That's a good stuff right there.
Oh, I'm just saying. I won't have to go to Dunkin' Donuts at 10:30 if I had some of that Bird's Eye coffee.
There you go. That's what you need, a little Bird's Eye coffee to keep you awake at night. That'd be nice. Do you have a coffee maker in your place where you live?
I do.
Well, we're going to do a giveaway with these guys. And I think that... they're going to give away a 3-month subscription. We're going to make that happen, I think, next week. And then they're going to give away also just 2 1-pound bags of coffee to loyal listeners of this fine program. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get more stuff like that to give away. I think we're going to do more giveaways this season. You know what? Because it's time to give back. This show has been around for a while now. We're pushing close to 100 episodes. You know, I think it's time to start giving back to the people.
I agree.
I mean, we did give away 10 pairs of shoes last season. That's true. I forgot about that.
That was awesome. I've heard some people talk about that.
You did. Well, you can't win them. You don't fucking doesn't count. It would be stupid if you won. It wouldn't make any sense.
No, I know, but those shoes look sweet.
They are good shoes. A great, yeah, great company, man. A great company. Well, check it out. We are going to take a little bit of breather here. Catch our breath. Of course, I'm going to play. I'm not going to play in spots. We'll do the Bird's Eye Coffee spot, and that's going to be it. I'm going to play a quick tune for you guys, and then we're going to come right back. Hopefully, we'll have my man, Buddy Casamano, on with us, and we'll see what's going on with him. And Red Leader, you going to hang out for a minute, or what's your story?
I'm going to go grab coffee before they close.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. I'm grabbing
some. I forgot about my sound effects. Look, here's what I think of your coffee. There you go.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just I don't have Bird's Eye coffee right now, so I got to settle for less.
Well, we'll make sure we get you some Bird's Eye coffee. That's for sure. Dude, pleasure as always. There you go. I will see you, sir, in the morning, and I'll chat with you soon. All right, dude?
Hell yeah. Have a great show. Tell Buddy I said hello. Right.
I will make sure I tell him I said hello for you, man. I'll talk to you later on, all right?
Thank you.
There he goes. That's the Red Leader right there. My sous chef, my, I guess, kind of co-host helping out tonight, recapping New Orleans and talking about things. I'm going to take a quick breather, you guys. Have a quick slug of beer. Get my ducks in a row. And we'll be right back with the one and only Buddy Casamano right here on Plum Love Foods Live. Stay tuned. Be right back, guys.
The sky.
that's right. What am I, a music show now? What the fuck is that? I'm playing songs? I don't know. I wanted to play a little Rise Against. I'm having that kind of day right now. So I had it. I had to play it. I don't know. It's a good song. I thought it was a great outro type song or something like that. But I couldn't think of a better song right now to bring in my guests at this moment. And let me tell you something. I'm lucky enough in doing what I do that I get to meet some amazing people, some really, really cool people. And one of the gentlemen that's coming up with us right now, I got to meet at a little TV thing we did together. And I just hit it off with him. I think he's fantastic. He's a sweetheart of a guy, an incredibly nice guy. And not only that, seems to be an even better person. And he's a funny, funny cat. The one and only Buddy Casamano. And of course, Eddie Bennett. Gentlemen, what's happening? How are you?
Hey.
You know, just hanging out. I'm drinking some beers, running my mouth. That's what we do on a Thursday night right now. What about you guys? What's up?
What kind of beer do you drink?
Right now, I am having a Klamrick Lager from, it's a Long Island beer. It's a Long Island beer, actually, because I've been out there nonstop. I can't remember where it's from, but it's a good beer. Oyster Bay? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're an IPA guy. You know what, man? I can't do IPAs. Let me tell you why I can't do IPAs. Because I'll drink one, and then I feel like I need to it has so much fucking hops in it. I drink one and feel like I need a glass of water afterwards because I'm still thirsty.
Really? Oh, see, mm-hmm. I can drink them all night long, and then, like, and it doesn't give me a hangover in the morning. That's the best part.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
Eddie just got me into them. I'm just now discovering the IPA.
Buddy, you're not much of a beer guy, though, are you?
No, I'm drinking my wine.
So, look, you guys, I was just telling the story a little bit ago about how, I mean, you're out with Debbie Gibson, which is amazing, and you guys are doing Fox and Friends tomorrow morning, promoting stuff with Debbie Gibson. The fact that we're still touring and selling out, I mean, it's not even just still touring a little bit. You're still touring and selling out. I mean, do you have time to drink after shows? Do you still do, like, the celebratory beverage after the show, or is it like shake hands and we'll see you in the morning sort of thing?
There's a thing called a rider that you get when you're like a star and you have to put certain things in there, and so like
you've heard the stories of the green M&M.
That's my rider. All I have is
green
M&M.
We don't like green M&M's. We just want bottles of wine.
Oh, okay.
So
what's
like
the preference,
there
though?
There must be a bottle of wine in the dancer's dressing room, and she knows that, so they put
that.
It on there.
After every show, we have to have our bottle of wine.
But she looks out for you, though.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how long have you guys both been working with her now? How many years?
This is Buddy speaking. I've been with her 123 years.
No, but
it was, I saw your first routine. I saw your first routine you guys had. You had that Revolutionary War coat on. It was really cool. I liked it.
Yes, exactly right. With my musket, yeah. The dancing musket? Yeah, that was me.
The dancing musket. Listen, if that's not a band, it should be.
That's good. Mm. Yeah, so I've been with her for 29 years. I'm almost 30 years. Wow. 29 years. With a little break in between because we were both on Broadway, and she really wasn't.
Right.
Recording a lot, like back in the early 90s, middle 90s. And then Eddie's been there for 15?
Like, it's going on 15 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've both been with her for a long time, yeah.
Right, but remember, I'm much younger than they are. So I was dancing to them in my bedroom before I actually joined them.
That's hysterical, man. So
Eddie's
it's
like, he's 10 years younger than me, so... There's like a generation gap, only like one generation.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, that's not that big of a difference, to be honest with you, especially in this day and age. But the fact that you guys are still out there doing it, I mean, it's pretty amazing because you guys are like the main two people that dance with her. Like, I was watching clips of you guys. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
It's cool that way, that it's just the two of us and we're known for that, and it's cool. Yeah. She's good with us like that.
And I guess when you get used to being with somebody for a long time, like that's kind of like a comfortability factor you kind of get with them, I guess. Like you want to stick with them because they know you know them. It's you know, it's not like you want to change that
exactly.
up too much.
Exactly, and it's kind of like a loyalty thing too. She's very loyal to us as we're loyal to her. And so
right.
it's like being up there with your best friends. Like when you were kids and you do something and you're having a blast. It's the same. We're lucky enough that we get to put on a show with our best friend.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I mean, after all these years, and Eddie, even after doing it for 15 years, is it still fun? Is it still fun to do?
Oh my God, it's so much fun. I mean, it's, you know, who doesn't want to pretend they're a rock star, you know?
Right. We do. Right. We get to pretend we're rock stars and like, and really not have to deal with any of the bullshit because we're not the star. You know what I mean? Like, we get to live that life. We get to like, it's not all of what the perks that she gets, but it's kind of like we get to live that vicariously, and then we don't really have to do like yesterday was her press day, and she had like a 15-hour nonstop press day where she didn't stop doing interviews. But we don't have to do that.
Right. But those are the things that help also sell out the arenas, man, and sell out the, sell out every show. Like, I remember very distinctly, bringing Electric Youth into my fifth grade class when it was my day to bring music in and putting it in the tape deck and oh, it's a true story, man. It's a true story.
I'm going to make you do the dance. I'm going to make you do it now.
Yeah, you're going to have to learn it and come do it on stage with us.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? I would do it in a heartbeat. Buddy, you know me. Are you kidding me? I'm in.
And then now, this is where it gets tough, though. You're going to have to shave your head. You have to be a bookend baldy.
Oh, dude, come on. I don't have much going for me but my blue mohawk. That's all I got. Like, I got nothing else.
It's hot. It's totally hot.
I don't know.
That's
You'll have
all to
center them. We'll put you center.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, we'll make you center.
So, not to digress into a weird story, but just so you guys both know, I actually was in show choir, in a competition dance group and singing group in high school called Sudden Image. And at one point during one of the routines, I did a Russian and landed in the splits. How about that?
Wait, you may have to start stretching again because that may be a requirement when you dance with that. Get your legs up on the ballet bar.
Look, I think I actually have a videotape of it, buddy. I'll have to show you next time. I think I may have it actually on video.
Oh, blackmail. Oh,
There you go. That's what's up. So buddy and I met because we're there's a little show that we're gonna be a part of in the fall called The Lounge, and that's where we met. And Buddy is an absolute riot, and we had a lot of fun hanging out and just shooting the shit and talking. And certain people in this business when you work, and you guys know it for sure, that you just can work off of very well. And I thought that Buddy and I, we played off each other very, very well. We were very strong in the group. And and it's just, you find people like that, and it's fun to talk to. And I appreciate you working with me on that, man, and being a part of that.
It was easy for the two of us. Like, it just clicked. It was really easy. Yeah, it was fun.
It's just the way it goes. I have no problem being the butt of the joke, Eddie. It's fine. As long as everybody's laughing, I don't care. It doesn't bother me a bit.
I love that. Yeah, I love that about. Well, self-deprecation, come on, it's the best way to win people over.
You're absolutely, unless you go to the West Coast, they don't understand it, they don't get it. I've told so many people to kill themselves that live
George
in L.A.
I remember George Lopez saying, like, you have to make fun of yourself, to be a good comedian, and to be a good, you have to make fun of yourself first before you can make fun of other people.
You have to, yeah.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
Unless you live in LA. And if you live in LA and you tell somebody to kill themselves in a joke, they don't understand it and they go home and they become like bulimic or something. I don't know what happens. Yeah.
You tell somebody to kill themselves?
Well, you know, I'm like, oh, shut up, kill yourself or whatever.
LA.
No, I love LA. I truly do. I've been there. I love it. It's the people that don't get the humor that drive me nuts. I mean, I don't know. So listen, you guys, when you travel on the road, like you go on the road, you're touring, you're doing shows all over the place. You've been all over. Let's just stick with this country right here. Just in the United States. Where's the best food?
Where's the best?
Now, see, this food is where we're going to differ because I love, my favorite place is New Orleans.
Okay.
I love the food there. I can't believe you didn't have a po' boy there. Did you have a muffalata?
I didn't. I had etouffee.
Okay.
And
beignets. Well, I went, like, when I was there, I made sure, well, I've been there a bunch, but I make sure, like, I eat, like, I had turtle soup when I was there. I've had the beignets. I don't like beignets. I don't like them. I will tell you the first
one
to say it. I don't like them. But I'm not a bakery person. I don't like even bakeries here in New York City, I'm not into them. Yeah, it's just not my thing.
Well, buddy, it's because look at you in the mirror and look at me and say, who's the guy who eats beignets?
Oh,
but Eddie, I don't know, man. Listen, you're right. I wish we had to work our asses off. Next time I go, I'm going to bring you with me. We're probably going
to
be shooting our edible.
Bring us with you. I'm telling
Hell
you.
Hell yeah.
Like, I walked down, I was listening to the show before we came on, and I'm like, you're
right.
Like, yeah, I had one beer on Bourbon Street. I'm like, what?
I did. What? I know.
One
I know.
Beer?
I know.
No wonder why you hated it. You have to be drunk. You have to be part of the party.
But here's the funny part. So they served me my beer in a quart container. In a kitchen, quart containers are gold. You use those to hold your mise en place in, to hold your stuff in. We were all freaking out, though, Eddie, because they gave me the beer, but then it was a quart container we used in the kitchen, but it had this handle on it, this detachable handle. And we were all just enamored with this quart container handle that everyone's trying to buy off me. It was awesome. I sold it for $40. It was great.
You did it? Well, there you go. That's a tip.
They were like,
what the container?
They were like, where'd it come from? Where'd you get it from? Like, I'm not going to tell you, but if you want it, I'll sell it to you.
That's funny.
But so, best food. So, Eddie, you stay in New Orleans.
And you want to know why people like daiquiris there? Because I heard you say,
yes.
Why do people drink so many daiquiris? It's because there are those walk up windows where they just sell lines and lines of daiquiris.
And it looks like you're going to 7-Eleven and buying a Slurpee.
Right, but they're hurricanes. They're like alcohol-filled Slurpees.
I know.
And they're everywhere, and they're refreshing in that heat. You want to have something cool
and keep you loopy.
See, that's what I was thinking, the heat. I was thinking the heat. It's kind of like when you go to the beach, and you guys have been to many beaches. You live in a beach town, right, buddy? I mean,
you go to the beach,
boardwalks. They always have ice cream shops. They have ice cream shops because your mouth is tasting salt air the entire time. That's why ice cream shops do so well at the beach, because it's sweetness. So the sweet and the salt, they go well together. That's why I was thinking in New Orleans, it was because of the heat. That's why they have the daiquiris, the frozen daiquiri thing happening.
I think you're onto something there.
The last one
that's,
I was in New
that's
Orleans,
why I'm a genius.
Yeah, you are. Well, you are a genius. Yes. But last time I was there, I took a cab ride, and I had a cab driver for a half hour from wherever I was to the airport. For what whole half hour, I did not understand one word the man said. And he was speaking English. I was like, what the hell are you saying?
That's hysterical.
I hear the. I'm like, okay, so he's saying English words, but I don't know what the fuck he's saying.
It's that weird southern accent, man. It's that weird southern accent.
No, it's Creole.
It's Creole. And I kept laughing, and then I kept thinking, oh my God, I'm laughing, and he's probably saying things like, I'm going to kill you, and I'm laughing.
You know, it's just funny how much the world is changing now with stuff, because we never used a cab at all. I just opened the Uber app on the phone, and we were just getting cars wherever we wanted to go. It's the greatest thing ever.
Wait, how about this? Chef, I've never Ubered, ever.
What? Oh my God, buddy. Buddy, listen. It makes life so much easier. And if you use promo code Chef Plum, you'll get $20 off your first ride. Listen, it's.
I'm living for you right now with that voice. you switched into advertising mode.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bird's Eye Coffee. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I know. Now we need Bird's Eye Coffee
and
an Uber app. Shit.
There you go. Bird's Eye Coffee at Uber app. Fuck, I don't have it. But so buddy, best food for you, man. What do you think? I mean, you've been all over the place.
Yes, I have. Truthfully, the best, are we talking United States or all over?
Because in
United States right now.
Outside the United
States. Yeah, my favorite food was outside the United States. But in the United States, New York. I just love New York food, no matter where I go. I do love Southern, like real fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Down south, like Georgia, and I love what are they called? Shit, the sausages, chorizo.
Chorizo, delicious.
That's down there too, in New Orleans. I like that.
Southwestern food. But buddy, here's the thing with fried chicken, you can't possibly eat it. For you guys who don't know, make sure you check him out on Instagram and whatnot at Buddy Casamano, because the man is an Adonis chiseled from stone. He's obviously not eating the fried chicken; he's just looking at it. So I'm telling you, it's amazing that he would say that you like that, because I picture you as a very very healthy guy.
What am I, chopped liver?
When we eat, I can
Eddie, I haven't seen any shirtless pics yet, dude. I don't know.
Oh, I'll send you some in a little bit.
Oh, fantastic. I look forward to it. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Oh, wonderful. You're going to get quite enough.
We're talking about food at Chef, and I haven't eaten tonight. I'm starving.
What? See, that's the problem.
I want to eat, like, biscuits and gravy and mashed potatoes and, like, dump pasta Alfredo all over myself.
Dump pasta Alfredo all over myself. That's a great picture for the lounge,
I think.
That's
how hungry I am. I want to eat some
cheese. You saw the opening of American Beauty. He doesn't want to be in rose petals. He wants Alfredo.
And Alfredo, I got you. So, guys, booking Baldi's, hysterical. I've checked it out. Fantastic. You guys are just I crack up when I listen to you talk because you just go and go and go and go. What is the premise of this show and what brought it on?
The premise is
there is none.
The premise, truthfully, is every time we're together, people are like, "You two are a show," and we're like, "Okay, so that's what we did." Decided to like put it on and so happens that we feed off of each other very well, and it kind of can be a show. But the reason that we made it was because the minute we realized that we were both behind Debbie Gibson if you're a backup dancer, you're a bookend. Like if there's two, you're a bookend.
Gotcha.
So bookend part was easy, but then we realized that it was two white bald guys behind her and we're basically the same height. It's like, it's perfect. So she actually was a big impetus in it too. She was like, "You guys need to do something," and so that's what started it.
Well, it's great. It's
and
hysterical.
Now and we're megastars. We have tens of followers. There's at least 17 people listening.
Wow, you've done well. You got. Hey, the second you hit 24, your money, brother. Your money. It can happen. Listen. I've been doing this show for about 2 years now, once a week, and it doesn't take long before you start. I mean, we get over 5,000 downloads a week now. It's crazy how many people, because it's a new way of doing things. Podcasting is the new way of doing. Now, I don't know if 5,000 is a big number. It's a big number to me. I'm like, holy shit, I'm sitting in my basement drinking beer. Are you shitting me? I mean, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
I have companies contacting me wanting to advertise on the show, like Bird's Eye Coffee, which is great.
Got contacted by Flex Seal because I love that stuff.
Wait, is that the stuff that you can like put on like a leaky faucet or something?
Yes,
yes, you can build a
shut up
out of a screen door.
Hell yeah! What are we doing?
That's what Eddie said. He was like, "We can build a boat." I was like, "Wait."
So if you build a boat out of Flex Seal, can I come do my show live? From your boat built
from
instead
our
flex
pontoon?
Seal.
From our
screen door pontoon?
With
Chef steering the boat.
There you go. I'll
bring
steer.
Some alcohol, you're welcome aboard. But
no doubt, dude. I'll bring food and alcohol.
He made this steak with that onion relish. Was that relish? Onion, tomato, onion, I don't know what. It was ridiculously good.
It was awesome, right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
I'll cook for you. Yeah, I love cooking. It's fun. I really do. I get into it, man. I totally enjoy it. Do you guys cook at all? Are you into cooking food?
I love to cook. This is Buddy speaking. I love it. I don't think you do, though.
No, I'm not. I do it out of necessity.
Oh, Jesus, Eddie. And you're yelling at me about New Orleans? Come on, dude.
That's so funny.
I do it not to starve.
Not to starve, exactly. Yeah, but I love it.
Not to starve. So you're like a chicken. Like, you just eat because you have to. Like, you don't know what else to do. So, like, I should eat.
But I have to tell you, I have one rule when I eat, and this is going to sound really weird, but this is absolutely, and you can ask Buddy about it. I can't eat meat off a bone.
Oh, he's so weird.
What?
He'll eat the chicken, but he can't eat the chicken if it's on the bone.
Yeah, you can't put a bone on my plate.
Really?
So
now, is it just
when you're cooking for us. What?
Okay, so no bones on the plate, but what is that about? Is it like bring it back to being like a real life thing, or is it like some childhood memory from it? What makes it happen?
My mom is Puerto Rican, and when she would eat chicken bones. I mean, it's funny because both my sisters and I, we don't eat meat off a bone, and I feel like it's because of sitting there at the table watching my mom.
Wait, time out before you say it. I want to guess. Is that cool? Is it because, like, when you were a kid, your mom would, like, break the bones open and suck the marrow out and stuff, and it just felt really gross to you?
Are you a mind reader?
See?
That's a very cultural thing. Yes. I have Filipino roommates to eat everything on the plate, including the eyeball. I would be like, okay, I'm done.
I had my buddy here from Food Network on the show, and I don't give any names away because I get upset when you do that. But he was talking about an experience he had where he was in Thailand, and they were eating a fish, and but the fish was alive. So you eat the fish while it's alive, and he goes, it's the most incredible experience because you're eating it and it's looking at you as you're like taking a bite out of its spine. It's insane, and it's like a thing.
No doubt.
I don't think I could do that.
I couldn't do that.
I don't think I could do it either.
When I was in Asia, we went to a place where the table, like two tables next to us, they had the, I think we were in Malaysia. Was Malaysia or, I forget. No, I think it was Malaysia. And they had the table with the hole in the center so that the monkey would be put.
Oh, no.
And they'd beat the monkey's brain and then eat it.
Jesus.
That's
terrible.
Right next to us. I was like, ooh.
But now, where do you think the best food in America is?
Me?
Right? Where do you think, Chef?
Yeah.
It's tough, man. I mean, I'd probably say in New York. New York's the melting pot. Whatever you want, we got it here. I mean, if you want Southern food, it's here. If you want Italian food, it's here. You want Greek food, it's here. Israeli food, you can find it here, man. That's kind of the thing. Man.
Although I do love a Philly cheesesteak from Philly. I gotta have it from Philly.
There you go, from Philly. There you go. It's all here if you want it, right? Food.
Yeah, I would have it here, but like a Philly cheesesteak from Philly is like a big deal for me.
Now, where in the world do you like? Where is the best place in the world to eat outside the U.S.?
You know, it's tough for me, man. I love Mexico. Mexico is fantastic, but if you make me stay outside the U.S., I'm going to say Mexico. It's fantastic. But even still, if you're going to say worldwide, I'm going to say the United States because I think we have some of the greatest food ever here.
We do have some great food in America. I just had some interesting food in other places. I don't know if I've had the best. Although, wait, I'll tell you what. When I was in Tokyo, we found an amazing Italian restaurant in the middle of Tokyo. I was like, what? It was crazy.
Really?
I mean, I ate there like four or five times, but it might have been just because I couldn't eat anywhere else.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. Dude.
I think Vietnam, for me, is the best food.
Oh, my God. Vietnam. I love Vietnamese food.
Some of the best food on the planet.
I love Vietnamese food. Have you ever had Vietnamese food, Chef?
I have, as a matter of fact. I love Vietnamese food.
Yes, I love it. But I've never been to Vietnam. He's been to Vietnam. I've never been to Vietnam to actually experience Vietnamese food there. And I just love it because everything's fresh and yummy and delish. Mm.
It absolutely is, and you're right. And it's just the whole point about it is because it's fresh because they don't have any way to keep it, make it last longer. There's no refrigeration. So exactly. You got to eat it now.
And there's that French influence mixed with like that Asian influence. It's so perfect.
Wow. Now, how many times? So I guess this is a crazy question. So have you guys gone with Debbie Gibson to Vietnam?
No. I was there for my son's adoption. He's a boy from Vietnam. We were supposed to go to Vietnam. And we were supposed to be the first Western concert in Vietnam ever. And then it didn't happen. Everything got canceled. And you know who ended up being the first first United States artist there?
Mm-hmm.
Brian Adams.
Who was it?
Interesting.
Yeah. But we were supposed to be Deb, and it just didn't happen.
Dude, honestly, Brian Adams, let me tell you something. Do you guys remember that song from the Robin Hood movie?
Yeah.
Remember that song? I used to call in to Q94 in Richmond, Virginia, where I lived, and I would dedicate that song to this girl in middle school and hoping that she would hear it and that I would go into school the next day and they would hear me dedicated to her. Oh, say it again?
Didn't you say that you were in a show choir?
Yes, you were.
I was, absolutely, in high school.
Do you think you could give us a little rendition of this?
Brian Adams
song? Oh, okay, wait. How did it start off? I gotta look the lyrics up. Hold on. I looked the lyrics up. Hold on. The I Could Die For You song, right? That's what it was, right?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. I got to look up the lyrics. I can look up the lyrics really quick. That's right. There was like... I know. It's killing me. But listen, as I looked the lyrics, I'm going to tell you the story. So I would say that song I would dedicate that song to her. Her name was Angela Volo, was her name. And I would dedicate that song to her. There it is. There it is.
I love you.
And I would say it. I would dedicate it to her, thinking that when I'm going to school the next day, she would have heard it. And then we'd have that moment. And then we would go to the eighth grade dance together and live in and whatever.
Perfect.
Oh, right? Fantastic.
16 candles of you, right? Oh, you sound like Jason,
16 candles. Oh. Unfortunately, this is the real world. She never heard me do it.
Oh, no, it didn't work.
Oh, and I did. Oh, I wonder why I had.
Inside her window in a trench coat.
That's the part. That's where you missed it.
That must be. You guys are doing Fox and Friends tomorrow morning, right?
Yes, tomorrow, we are. Yeah. Like bright and early. We have a call time in 5 hours.
Oh,
and we still have our podcast to record tonight.
Yeah, pretty fun.
Oh, wow. Oh, you want me to be on it? I'll come on it with you. You want me to come on with you?
Oh, yeah. You could be a guest.
I don't know.
We'll have you on. We'll have you on.
You're going to be a guest sometime.
Of course. Dude, anytime. So everything I do, by the way, is name that song. So you guys, what songs are you doing tomorrow morning?
Let's hear it, Chef Plum.
It's coming. I'm pulling it up right now. I keep messing the words up to the.
Do you need a karaoke track? Do you need to pull up the karaoke track too?
That's what he's doing.
Oh, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? If I just started playing the music and started singing it.
Oh no, he's going to do a cappella.
Are you ready? Ready? Look into my eyes, and you will see.
Yes.
I'm swooning. I'm
what you mean to me. That's all I got because I don't remember the melody and I didn't really sing it because I feel like an ass.
Brilliant.
That was brutal. You're messing up. You messed up your B words. All right. So look, what songs are you guys doing tomorrow morning?
All our hits. Only My Dream, Shake Your Love, Out of the Blue, Electric Youth. She'll probably do Lost in Your Eyes, Foolish Beat. And then we do, maybe not on air, we do an 80s medley that's really, really popular, very big with the audience. But I don't know if that'll be shown on air or if that's like an after thing that's going to be only online. But it's like 5 or 6 songs throughout the hour from 8
plus
to 9
a.m. Plus some new songs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's got 2 new ones she's doing.
Oh, nice, nice. And the new songs, you guys, obviously...
She has a Hallmark movie coming out on Saturday night. So this is like a big concert right before
Saturday night on Hallmark. Everyone that's listening, if you're in the mood to check her out, it's Summer of Dreams, it's called.
Nice. And where do we find the podcast, of course? The Bookend Baldies, hysterical.
You can find us at hashtag Bookend Baldies on iTunes.
We're on iTunes. Right. And we have a website, bookandbaldies.com.
Right? No, WordPress.
WordPress.com.
Yeah, we're just fledgling. I mean, it's just now starting to pick up steam, our podcast. Because we really, our motto is all nonsense, all fun, all in, no matter what. I mean, we have no idea what we were doing when we started this, and it's just kind of taking off.
To snowball.
Yeah. So people are really enjoying what we're putting out, and it's exciting.
Well, it's amazing that we live in a time now. We live in a time now where you can do that. You know, you can come on and do something like that and people check it out and they enjoy it because they want something new. They want something different, different perspective. And more importantly, I think people want to not have to worry about silly FCC regulations. They want to hear real conversations. I think you guys definitely do that. And you tell some hysterical, freaking stories. That's for damn sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's all, like, not planned. It's just us sitting around drinking and,
off the cuff.
Yeah.
Well, yours is
professional.
Yours is exactly the same way. Yours is, like, real conversation as well. So that's very refreshing.
That's it, man. And I think that's the real life part of it. And it's funny what's happened with this show. I don't know if you guys heard it earlier, but we've been contacted by some local stations here in Connecticut where I live that want to bring us on and give this show a go. Obviously, a PG version of it, but want to give it a go because... Listen, people want something different. They want something new. They want something that is real. I mean, too much radio is not real anymore. Too much entertainment is just not real. And, you know, we've got on here and, you know, how much pre-talk did we have? None. We just got on here and started running our mouths. That's what it's about.
No pre-interviews. I hate pre-interviews.
I mean, our pre-interview was like, we said we wanted some bird eye coffee.
That was it. Commercial for bird's eye.
Well, birds of a feather coffee, not bird's eye. Birds of a feather coffee.
Is it birds of a feather?
Yeah, you guys have been drinking too much. Birds of a Feather Coffee out of Tampa, Florida. Delicious stuff. We're going to do a big giveaway with them, I think, in the coming weeks here. It's going to be fun.
I want one of those 1 pound bags of coffee. I want some coffee.
Oh, it's great stuff. It's fantastic stuff.
You sold it. All I know is that you were talking about the hints of molasses and the yellow. I was like, wait, stop everything. Give me. I don't want wine. I want coffee now.
Hey, buddy, you heard me talking to the, on the lounge, you heard me talking to the Bloody Mary guy, huh? Come on, that's what I do, dude. That's what we do.
Yes.
I heard about the Bloody Mary guy.
Oh, my God, we had so much fun. You guys got to check that. I hope that episode comes out, because when it was filming, we were having a good time. That was fun.
We had a great time. It's fun. It's a great group of people,
yeah.
Man. And Eddie, I don't know as much of your background yet, so I don't have any great weird stories to ask you about. But I will in the future, I hope. And I hope we get to hang out and have a drink together at some point, because you sound like a fantastic human being.
I'm counting I promise you. Asking about a private party with Patrick Swayze and also about this time with Patti LaBelle on stage. That's the end.
Okay, wait a minute. Like, the entire world just stopped. The entire world just stopped, buddy. Roadhouse is one of my favorite movies of all time. Eddie, Patrick Swayze, yes. What are you talking about? Give me some info. And don't just say he's dead.
Well, I worked with Patrick for a month, and I adore him. And it's very funny what a humble guy he is. And, like,
really?
We bonded over the fact that we're both from Texas. I grew up in a little town called Garland, and he grew up in Houston. His mom's a big ballet teacher there. And we worked in L.A. for a month together. And should I tell this story real quick?
Yeah.
All right.
Go for it, dude.
I was throwing a party in my room in my hotel, and we talked about this on the podcast once. But I was throwing a party in my room for the cats, like just a little get together. We're all gonna drink, blah 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 blah. And Patrick's manager walked over to me and said, "Did you invite Patrick?" And I'm like, "Why would Patrick want to come to my hotel party?"
Of course.
And they said, "Well, no, I think he's hurt, and I think you should go talk to him."
Oh shit!
So I knocked on his dressing room door, right? And I said, "Do you want to come to my party, like in my hotel room? Like, it's really not anything." And he's like, "I would love to." And so
no way.
I mean, I've been bowling with him. I've been everything. But this party was this was the beginning of it. And he, an hour before the party started, I hear on my door, and it's him. He's an hour early. He's there to help me set up. I'm like, oh, my God, my mom would die. Patrick Swayze's in my hotel room. What do I do? I'm nervous. He's like, "Dude, what do you want me to do?" I'm like, "I guess cut these strawberries." I don't know. Like. Then everyone leaves, and it's like just Patrick Swayze, me, and a friend of mine, and we're all just like parked in my bedroom, like talking about, you know, movies he made and how they meant to him, and I'm just
and
like,
Roadhouse and Chef Tom.
And exactly.
Oh,
no, but like, a good movie. That became like that was like the first week I met him, and then after that, like, we went bowling together, and we, you know, it was like
a down home cool dude.
Yeah.
And so you became friends with Patrick Swayze because you didn't invite him to your hotel party.
Isn't that cool?
Exactly. Because I didn't think he would come. But he did.
Mm-hmm. And he was the most humble person in the world. And, like, I just love that.
So when people gush about Patrick Swayze, like, when you hear celebrities gush about him, it's
believe
true.
It. Believe
he's
it.
He's a really amazing
guy. He was
guy.
A really good guy.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Right?
Now,
no,
is this,
I love that. That's why I had to say it, because I love that story.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Is this post Roadhouse?
Well, those are the kind of stories we talk about on our podcast. So yeah.
That's right. The book and Baldies. You got to check them out. Definitely got to check. It's fantastic, and that's why I love about the show. You guys are just being goofy. I really do. I dig it. It's awesome.
It's all true stories, but most of it is like complete like foolishness.
Right.
Now, wasn't there? Now, I may be totally wrong here. I'm shooting him, but. Wasn't there a sharding story, or am I making that up?
Oh, my good day, God.
We did do, because at the Met Gala, we saw that Kanye had sharded in his blue jeans. And, I mean, you know, a shart usually only happens.
Kanye sharded.
Now, usually a shart only hits the underwear, but for it to go through denim must have, like, been an explosion.
Wow. Maybe he wasn't wearing underwear.
He definitely wasn't.
Oh, maybe that's... I didn't even think about that. See, this is why we need to have you on. I thought he was wearing, like, Hanes Fruit of the Loom, and it, like...
Nope.
Like, that's a good barrier.
No, it's so bad. You guys, if you're wondering what we're talking about, just Google Met Gala Kanye, and you'll see the pictures. It's ridiculously funny. You'll lose your shit.
Oh, because Kanye did.
And who doesn't love a sharding story? Come on.
Absolutely. You know what it is? It's a human story. That's what it is. That's why it's hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are a riot.
Okay.
Definitely check out.
It's usually in your living room when it happens, not on the red carpet.
Not on the red carpet.
Met Gala.
Well, it could also happen when you're doing a national TV show, but that's another story for another day.
Wait, has that happened to you?
Another story another day. So.
I can send it to you right now. And it's 11 p.m. Check it out all the time. You've got to tell this story. What happened on air?
Listen, at the time I was hosting on the Hallmark Channel at one point, and it had been quite an early morning, and I woke up late. And, you know, as most gentlemen do, we have a routine in the morning. You know, you have a routine. You have to go through your routine. And I woke up late. I live in Connecticut, and I had to drive to New York City because I was hosting the All Recipe segment on the nationally syndicated Better Show on the Hallmark Channel at the time. I had to rush to get out and get to the studio. Got to the studio, got in wardrobe. They had a wardrobe for me, Eddie. I had a whole wardrobe. The wardrobe they wanted me to wear. I'm doing the segment, and I'm like, wow, you know, I feel a little something rumbling. I'm like, I can let this go because the segment's gonna be over in a second. Well, let's just say I walked like I was doing aerobics with my ass for the next 15 minutes.
People were like, what's this gravy? You dropped gravy on the floor.
it wasn't quite that bad, but let me just tell you, things felt a little bit slippery back there, and I felt the tighter I squeezed it to make sure we could. And this is mid segment. I'm telling you, I am mid talking. I am like, and you take the chicken and then roast it, and like literally for like a second, the wires fell loose in my head, and I'm trying to go back to the teleprompter. I'm like, at 3:50.
And then, like, you know how the oven is usually behind you? You were, like, backing it up and putting it...
Oh, yeah, I backed up to it.
You've got the tray behind you. And this is a great
I can't believe I just told that story. I can't believe I just told that story. It's very therapeutic.
I was just going to say, you just told that on your own show. I'm loving it.
That's all right. But Eddie's cracking up. And like I said from the get-go.
Everyone wants to tell us about sharks.
I think you guys should get shirts made. In the front, it's that beautiful picture of your two bald heads. It's a book in baldies. And on the back, it just says hashtag shark.
I think that's going to be on our business card.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Buddy, I have to ask you. I had no idea. I was doing a little research on you because I do my homework, like most radio shows do, believe it or not.
That's good.
But not too much. I was just on your website. But it's somewhat. You got kicked by Madonna?
I did, that slut.
What's the story behind that?
Type.
So Madonna kicks you. She sharted, so she kicked you.
Yeah, she sharted. I sharted on her. No. I was at her audition for the Truth or Dare tour, the final callback for the Truth or Dare tour.
Well, you have to tell them that you were asked to come to the final.
Yes, I was asked to be there.
I
actually wanted to be there, but then it turned out her and Deborah had the same attorney, and the attorney said, Madonna wants to see him, blah, blah, blah. So they flew me in to L.A. to go to the final audition. And it was a huge deal. There was 20 of us left.
Wow.
And I didn't learn the combination from prior because I was on the road with Debbie. So I had to come in blind. So I didn't know what they were dancing. So she told me to watch. And then once I watched, she said, do you think you know it? She was a lot meaner than that. I'm saying it nicely. do you think you know it? And I said, yeah. And I jumped up and I started dancing. She said, dance next to me. And I danced next to her. And as we were dancing, she kicked me. I got too close. And then I actually wound up hitting her back. And then the
oh
bitch.
Oh, my God.
And the second oh time, my. I know she did it on purpose.
Oh, my God, dude.
And then she cut me from the goddamn audition, that slut.
Jesus. Well.
But then I saw her at the Vanilla Ice concert, and Deborah hell yeah. introduced me. The Vanilla Ice concert. And Deborah introduced me, and she was like, hi, this is Buddy. And she went, I remember Buddy. And I was like, oh, she remembers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I never really got to work with her, but at least I have that much.
That's a great story. Are you kidding me? Most people don't even have that story. That's fantastic.
And she walked into the room, and when she first walked into the room, I'm allowed to curse, but yeah. She first walked into the room, first thing she said to the whole room, she said, looked around the room, she said, whoever doesn't belong here, get the fuck out.
Hell yeah.
That was it. And I was like, no matter what goes on from now until the time she cuts me, I'm all good.
Dude, that is awesome. What a great story that is right there. Yeah. So just, I know.
You don't even know how much of an impact that's made on him. Every time he walks into our hotel room, he's like, whoever doesn't belong here, get the fuck out.
That's really funny. I wonder why he said that on the set of The Lounge. And I was like, I guess I'm leaving.
Why did he say that at the White House?
that's an amazing story to have that. So, but just curious. So, in your world, is that like a life changing job? If you got that gig, is that like a life changing gig right there? Is that like a, you know, everything's different from here on out? If you get that, the Truth or Dare tour.
Yeah, I have a friend an acquaintance that actually did the gig. I have a few friends that did it, but my one friend that did it. It's now how many years later? 20 something years later, and now the documentary came out. There, he's riding that. He was just in Italy. They were just all over Europe, like. They're riding that 20 years later, right. Still, yep.
Wow.
And still, and they haven't danced with her since then. Like, it's not like I've maintained a 30-year career with Deborah, but these guys danced with Madonna 20 years ago on one tour. They never did another tour with her, and now 20 years later, and they have a movie coming out, and they're still riding it. And all the press they're doing, it's all about being Madonna's backup dancer. That's all they're doing.
Wow, man, that's amazing.
Isn't that fun?
To still ride that long.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy, man. That's insane.
So it could have been. I mean, my life was changed anyway because of the Debbie Gibson thing. I mean, that was completely life changing for me. But
of course,
that could have been a crazy. Yeah, that could have been something fierce.
Well, I want to cook for Debbie, so you got to help me out make that happen.
Oh, we will, and I'll tell you this:
she's a good cook. She's a good cook, but she's picky.
Picky. She's got like all sorts of like issues with her food.
Yeah. You're gonna have to show her everything that you use. She's like any artist, she knows like what
she can't have certain oil.
How like it affects her vocal cords. Well, she also suffered from Lyme disease. So it's like a lot of that brings up a lot of things that you never knew that you know.
Yeah. So now she's like very, very sensitive to like triggers. So she's like, oh, I can't eat that because that triggers this. I can't eat that. So as much as I would love for you to cook for her, you might be bored.
Be better cooking for us.
For us. Because you can cook anything for us.
Well, I'll cook for you guys any day of the week, no doubt about it. And listen, the Lyme disease thing doesn't scare me because so does half the people in Connecticut. It's fine. It doesn't. It's not a big deal to cook for it. Well, listen, I urge everybody to please go to iTunes. Type in that little search menu. Type in Bookin' Baldies. Their show is hysterical. My man, Buddy, and of course, Eddie Bennett. What great guys, man. You guys have been fun to talk to. I appreciate you guys coming on tonight and taking time. You're so busy. And of course, tomorrow morning on Fox and Friends, they will be kicking ass. I look forward to checking that out.
Yes.
Guys.
Thank you, Chef.
You guys.
I can't wait to meet you in person.
Absolutely. I can't wait either. Guys, tell them where to find you on social media.
Okay, so first of all, the two of us together are hashtag bookendbaldies.
Or at bookendbaldies on Twitter and
Instagram. And then myself, I am on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything, all the social media stuff is just at Buddy Casimano, CASIMANO.
And I'm at Euphorian54, EUPHORIAN54, like in Studio 54, for me.
Nice.
on Twitter and Instagram.
Nice. Well, listen, I'm going to be shooting out there for Edible Magazine. Eddie, are you a Long Island guy or are you in the city?
I'm a New Jersey guy. I used to be a city guy, but now I live in Jersey.
Oh, never mind. We're done talking.
That was brilliant.
Wow. And I actually held my tongue on a Long Island thing today, and then you went there.
We're going to be shooting Edible Magazine for Edible Long Island and Edible East End in a couple of weeks. I'm going to get in touch with you guys and see. I'd love to have you come be a guest and hang out with us. We have a lot of fun with it, and we make food, and we make a lot of jokes. So hopefully we can get you guys to be a part of it. I can't thank you enough for taking the time tonight. I know you're very, very busy. Congratulations on all your success, buddy. I'm happy to know you and call you a friend. And Eddie, I'm happy to call you a friend now, too. You guys are amazing dudes, and I look forward to the future.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
You guys are awesome. We'll talk to you later. Get on down the road, all right?
You come down the road. I'll see you soon.
There you go. I'll talk to you guys later on. Thanks again, guys. Make sure you check out the Bookend Baldies, my man Buddy Consumano, the one and only Eddie Bennett. What a great great podcast they've got, guys. It's hysterical. I can't recommend it enough. And, of course, a big shout-out tonight to the sponsor of this episode, man, the one and only Bird's Eye Coffee. These guys are making fantastic coffees out there. I'm telling you what, they sent me some of this stuff. It's so worth your time. It's amazing. Bird's Eye Coffee is awesome. They are a small batch coffee roaster in Tampa, Florida. Make sure you check them out at birdscoffeecompany.com. That's birdscoffeecompany.com. I highly recommend the Night Owl blend. It's deep, it's rich, it's highlighting the caramel sweetness and cocoa, molasses undertones. Beautiful coffee, especially for all of us cooks out there. Can't recommend them enough. Let's get a couple of plugs in here and then get on down the road for this Thursday night special episode of Plum Love Foods Live. Why isn't my music playing? What the heck? See, what is the upgrade in me? Now my music's not playing. Hang on, let's try again. Here we go. Let's get some special shout outs.
Look out for the cops, though.
Cash food.
Yeah, that's right, guys. You can follow me at Chef_Plum. That's at Chef_Plum on Twitter, on them Instagrams, and Chef with two F's on Facebook. I'm new to the Facebook thing. What can I say? Big shout out to my man Red Leader. Make sure you find him on Instagram and Facebook. Type in Red Leader. He's on there. You can find him. He's a good dude. He's a great follower. He's always typing and putting out lots of pictures from what we're doing. We got a lot of stuff happening. I will be in the Hamptons this weekend doing more work if you're around. And, of course, big shout-out to the Bookend Baldies, my man, Buddy Castellano, and, of course, Eddie Bennett. What great guys, man. They've toured the entire world talking food all about the country, talking about just tomorrow morning. They're going to be on Fox and Friends. They're going to be performing. Can't wait to check that out. These guys are great. Check them out. They're funny, funny as shit. And not only that, they're two fantastic guys. And to me, if you're going to have great people, that makes people who are funny even better. So these guys are two great guys. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't thank you enough for taking your time and spending time with us on a Thursday evening out here. As I sit down at this bar, drinking a beer, hanging out, talking to cool people. You were checking out Plum Love Foods Live. We were into season 4, episode 2. Ladies and gentlemen, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Make sure that you give it the time that it deserves. And we'll be back next week with a brand new, fresh out the oven episode of Plum Love Foods Live. See you then, guys. Thank you.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.